What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Final hour on our Monday, but depressing day, but it's now an annual rite, the Monday after the Cowboys season comes to an end. And again, for the record, seventh straight time, Cowboys have broken a record here, seventh straight divisional round loss, which of course you win the divisional game, you go to the championship game. Cowboys have not been to one since the mid-90s now, seven opportunities to do so. With Jerry Jones as general manager, zero tickets punched. And that's just to get to the Final Four, Buck. That's not to get to the Super Bowl and actually win the Super Bowl, which would make me fulfill my promise to walk to Dallas. So we're still not close.
Well,
still
I'll just
no,
say this.
Still no new shoes bought at Fleetfoot feet or whatever.
I agree with you. I'll say this. I thought they played really good defense yesterday. But I always say you got to make another play and another play. And when it was time to make those plays, they couldn't stop the run. Those guys were gouging them, and with that 8-9 minutes left in the game, I don't know if they would have won getting the ball back, but they didn't stop them.
They did get the ball back.
Yeah, they forced a field goal. They got the ball back. I mean, 113 rushing yards to the San Francisco 49ers, who are a run-based team. I think that's a win for Dan Quinn's team. I will just say again, as I said all morning, if Dak Prescott doesn't throw the picks, I think the Cowboys win this game.
They got the ball back twice.
I know.
At the end of the games.
Well,
end of the game.
The second time it was with 40 seconds and no timeouts. Right. They had to go 90 yards.
You still stopped them twice. You still made them give you another chance.
Oh, yeah.
I would have gone for it there.
Well, I would have gone for it if Dak had gotten some yards on second or first or second down. So you made it fourth and manageable, not fourth and 10, which is on the quarterback. But, no, I mean, I just think the whole – I mean, to me, the game changed on right at the end of the half when Tony Pollard got hurt, and then
for sure
when Dak threw the pick in the red zone. I mean, the first one was bad enough, which led to 3 points for the 49ers. They hadn't moved the ball at all in the first half, but that gave them 3 points. And then Dak, again, that moment in this game was so big because you had converted a fourth down. You were controlling, because I'm really, really big on the final 4 minutes of a half and then coming out of halftime. I think that's really where games can separate and you can take control of a football game. Cowboys had given themselves the opportunity by getting that fourth down call, which was a great call by Kellen Moore to spread the field and let Dak run it. And so they get first down. Now you're second and two, and the ability to drain the clock, kick a field goal, or maybe score a touchdown before the half, and Dak throws it was an inexcusable throw for a rookie quarterback. If a first-year player who's starting his first game made that throw, you'd say, what was that? For Dak Prescott's seventh year in this league to make that throw when it was never open into double coverage on second and two, that gets picked off, that's inexcusable. And really it flipped the game for me because not only did you not get points and drain the clock and go to halftime, knowing you're getting the ball coming out of half, they went down and got points on the board, took the momentum into halftime. You know, those are just kind of things that, because at that point when they came out in the second half, that's when the 49ers started to take over the football game. And as you said, started to gouge them with the run game.
Oh, yeah.
But I think at some point you have to tip your cap to Kyle Shanahan and understand that he's going to do that. He's going to find the runs that are going to work against the scheme that you're running. It may take him till the third quarter, and you can stone that run game for most of the first half. But once he figures out what's happening, he'll come up with some run plays and run schemes to get the rush yards that offense needs.
I thought the Cowboys met their strength early in that game.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they were hitting. They were physical.
Number 90 was playing his ass off.
Yeah, I mean.
Lawrence was all over the place.
Odua Ziggy or whatever.
Ziggy Zua.
Ziggy Zua. I love that guy. I mean, I like it. Their personnel on defense deserves huge credit. And to give up 19 total points and one touchdown and 113 rush yards to that team, that's a win. If your quarterback doesn't turn the football over and manages critical situations, you have a very good chance to win that game. And again, if your seventh-year quarterback doesn't get outplayed by a rookie, you win this game.
He got outplayed by Purdy.
Oh, yeah. And that's
yes.
At least, your quarterback at least has to play to a stalemate against the rookie quarterback in his biggest moment of his career. And, you know, but what's the best throw he made on the day? Was it the bomb to CeeDee Lamb where CeeDee made a heck
even
of a
that
catch?
Was over underthrown.
It was underthrown, but it forced the pass interference call.
Yes.
But they never really tried to stretch the field. They never really tried to push the ball down the field outside of that one play. No, it was disappointing. And it leaves, as great as it was to see Dak perform like he did on Monday Night Football, you and I said it all last week, do not expect that defense, right? The defense that doesn't cover Dalton Schultz, the defense that, you know, just stays in a soft zone the whole game and allows Dak to get really, really comfortable.
They're not going to let you get to Dalton Schultz because they know where you want to throw the ball.
Right. They're going to take away Schultz as much as possible. Now, he did score a touchdown at the goal line, but other than that, he had four other catches, and Schultz was pretty much a non-factor in the game, and CeeDee Lamb. But again, the Pollard injury was massive, too. I mean, I think those two things combined really cost the Cowboys. If Pollard stays healthy, who knows? Because I feel like they had a package for him of plays to try to create some explosive plays through the run game and in the passing game that they never really got to. And at that point, they were really only CeeDee Lamb scared the Niners at that point. Only CeeDee brought explosive plays to the game, and they had to deal with that. But at that point, that was a really, really bad injury for the Cowboys. It also exposed Zeke Elliott for the shell of the player that he is
goodness.
Now. I mean, he really is just.
You think he's still hurt? He had that big knee brace on his leg last week.
It's that time. He's done. He's
27.
He's a goal line guy.
He's taken a pounding. You know, you coach running backs, Buck. When those guys lose that explosive step, that gear that gets them.
And you may see it one or two games during the season, but it's gone.
Well, you know, against a team like the Niners, the crease is small. The window,
it's not there very long.
And you got to hit it. And you know, special players can. Zeke was a special player. Sometimes I compare it to like a boxer, right? When a boxer gets up in age and he's kind of lost his legs.
And I'm still very surprised he's still that guy in short yardage that can get it done because he does.
And he's still just okay at that now.
Well, he made a good play on, was that a fourth down last night where they handed the ball and he was clearly stopped.
Oh, that was good when he reached across.
Oh, yeah. That's what
I'm
saying.
That was sharp.
He still got that sense of goal line. He still had that sense of short yardage. But when you need the 5 or 6 yard explosive run that could turn into something, I mean, he's not there anymore.
He lets the ankle grabbers.
Oh, the ankle grabbers have been grabbing him for. Well, they've been getting him for years now.
But that was used to be the best. His best quality was getting through that initial tackle and breaking it off. I can't remember the last time I saw him run for more than 15 yards.
Yeah, there was a play where he had a hole coming off the right side. And by the way, the Cowboys, when they did run yesterday, it was to the right side behind their two Hall of Famers and Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. And there were some run lanes there. And there was a run where he broke clear. And they had trapped the backside, and it was a good hole. And number 51 for the Niners just grabbed his leg.
Took him down.
I mean, Prime Zeke runs through that easy and then stakes on the next guy. I mean, Prime Zeke was like when you see Micah Parsons with one arm throw the right tackle to the ground. I mean, he was a beast in his prime, and he's not anymore.
Yeah, you're only going to get so many years out of a running back, and they're way past his time.
Well, that's the issue with Pollard, too. I mean, how old is he? He's 25, 24 years. I mean, he's older than 24.
You can find – I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Pollard. I don't know what they're going to do with Zeke and his contract. He's still got 3 years left on it. That's a problem. You got to figure out what that deal is going to be. But again, I think Dak, the headline is Dak. I mean, you can't not make it Dak because in the end, if you were you dropped from Mars to watch this game and then asked afterwards which quarterback was the rookie quarterback and which one was the 7-year veteran, you would have gotten it wrong because you would have said, 13 was the 7-year pro, 4 was the rookie. And that's how we played yesterday. And your offense couldn't generate big moments. And outside of the one touchdown, both teams scored one touchdown in this
game.
Can
you absolutely cut Zeke?
Yes.
You can?
Yes, you can cut him and not really worry about it.
According to sportstrack.com, which tracks sports contracts,
it's going to cost you
almost $12 million in dead money to do it.
But you free up $8 million. So it's really only $4 million difference, right?
I get you. Yeah, you save it.
Yeah,
you do the math. But yeah, I mean, I think they're going to have to. You can't pay.
Get him to restructure. Agree to a restructure.
Cannot pay a player that much money to be that average, right? You just can't.
No.
But the same argument can be said for Dak. You can't pay a player that much to be average in critical moments and get outplayed by a rookie and lead the NFL in interceptions.
You think the Jets might be interested in
Dak
taking a quarterback?
Well, I would call every team. I'd be doing the Billy Bean Moneyball thing. I'd be making him available.
At this point, would you roll, like, say you could get a first-round pick for Dak? Because I think that's probably what you would. I don't. If someone wanted
team,
him.
Would a team more likely trade for Dak or Derek Carr? That's an interesting question.
Well, how much money is there? Like, it'd probably be a contract thing. Derek Carr just signed a new contract, right?
Yes, he did.
So he's got another 4 or 5 years. Paying him. Dak's got 3.
Well, let me just say it this way to make it an easier conversation. Minus the contract, would a team more likely trade for Dak or Derek Carr?
I think they're identical players at this point. I think their ceilings are exactly the same.
That's interesting.
I mean, in other words, they are at their ceiling.
Derek Carr did less with a receiver to the Devonta Adams is a better receiver than Dak's ever had. No matter how good you think CeeDee Lamb is or how good he could be, Devonta Adams is a next level player. You put that guy with Dak, I think Dak would, you know, at least step it up a little bit.
It just
dude, he threw 2 picks in that game.
Well, remember, Rick, remember back when the texter said he's a top 5 quarterback, Dak Prescott, and we had some fun with that.
Yes, we did.
And what did we say, though? This is an opportunity. You know, these are the kind of games, and those are the kind of moments, end of the first half, 3 minutes to go in the game, where you change that perception. You go from a 12th best quarterback in the league into the top 5 because you do special things in those moments. And Dak continually does not. If you remember back to last year's game, because everybody's talking about this year's game at the end, that last play with Zeke getting blown up and Dalton Schultz not going out of bounds. That was a prayer. The game was over by then. The Cowboys got the ball back with 40 seconds, no timeouts, and had to go 90 yards and score a touchdown. That was – the game was lost the possession previous. And if you go back to last year's game in Arlington against this same team, everybody remembers when he didn't spike the ball in time and how the game ended. The game was lost on the previous drive where Dak had the ball and a chance to go down and score. And again, that's 2 years in a row in the playoffs with the game on the line. Your quarterback has and this was a team with Amari Cooper last year, that you direct your team, get them down, get in the end zone. I know it's a very good defense, but all defenses you're going to play this time of year are very good. So that's what your quarterback has to be able to do. You don't think in Buffalo this morning they're talking a little bit about Josh Allen?
Oh, they're still pissed at him.
Wondering, hey, Josh, what's up here? Do we really miss Brian Daboll? You know, what are we doing? 10 points? I know that Bengals defense is good, but, you know, we're Buffalo. We need more than 10 points in a football game if we're going to win it. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow.
I can't even imagine, Jerry, in a week from now saying we're probably going to have to look at our quarterback position. I don't think he's even going to think about
it. You can't say that, though. You can't.
Can't say what?
You can't. I mean, he already – you can't put any distrust in the Dak situation if you're Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I just don't believe he'd do anything.
You got to wait at least another year before –
That's what I think.
You make any rash decisions.
Well, I think I've seen enough, but I'm not the general manager, so he is what he is. And in the biggest of moments, he plays pretty small. Plays pretty small. And I know people will point out the Monday Night Football game, and I'm not going to take that performance away from Dak. That was against Tom Brady. That was against the GOAT. He owns that forever.
God, we knew what was going to happen in that game against that team.
But you can go back and watch it. The Bucs provided, as I said, watch both of those games, this week Dak and last week Dak, and tell me you don't agree with me that the Buccaneers look like a team ready to end their season. They were ready to be done with their year. They didn't. There's something going on in Tampa. That season needed to end.
Yes.
They did not play like a playoff football team who was – you know, going to give it everything they had to get to the next round. And the Cowboys took advantage of that, so no apologies. But you had to know what this week was going to be. This was going to be the barometer and the litmus test for Dak. And, again, he failed it. And that's a couple years in a row now. And, you know, I think you are what you are at this point. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback.
No, he's not a great quarterback. He's not a top 5 quarterback. He's right about where you said, about 12th or 13th.
Romo was a miracle.
Oh, and to the Romo thing from Jerry Jones – they now have the identical playoff record. Both Romo and Dak, after yesterday's game, are 2-4 in the playoffs.
And they're both the same.
Tony Romo is so much better than Dak.
And they both 0-3 lifetime in the divisional playoff games. You know, of the 7 divisional playoff games the Cowboys have now lost, trying to get to the NFC Championship game since 1995, Romo lost 3 of them. Dak's lost 3 of them now. Who lost the other one? Would that have been Aikman?
Kyle Orton.
Kyle Orton?
I think so. Against Philadelphia.
Is that right?
Come on.
That's a good truth.
They had a game-winning drive through interception on the first play. That's the first thing I thought of last night when that guy dropped that pick. I was like, oh, that could have been
The pick six?
Like, I was like, that could have been, it was like the Kyle Warden
play. I mean, I know, you know, we're picking this game apart play by play, but
which
I think
we're supposed to do, yes.
But can you imagine the conversation this morning if Fred Warner had caught that ball and pick sixed it, housed it?
That could have put the nail in Dak's coffin.
Yes. I mean, the conversation would be not the same. I'm making the same argument, but if Fred Warren catches that ball and takes it to the house, because everybody, if you're looking at Twitter or you're paying attention, everybody's saying, oh, 3 minutes to go, three timeouts, down seven. This is where legacies are made. And his first pass is a pick six. Oh, Dak. But he did. Only thing that didn't happen is the guy didn't catch the ball. I mean, he threw it right to him.
And that was another just blind, like, he decided he was throwing it there before the ball was even snapped.
He's got bad vision. Something's up with
sharp
his
vision,
eyes.
Sharp vision, modern LASIK.
He needs to get the Jameis Winston treatment or something.
He can't see.
Somebody said the seventh. Jeff Howe, or not somebody, our man Jeff Howe, says that the seventh divisional playoff loss was Troy Aikman, 1996 Panthers. Thank you very much. That was the upstart expansion Panthers. Am I right about that? What was his name? Dom Capers?
Tom Capers, yeah.
It was nearing the end for Troy Aikman. That's when he was really getting sick of Barry Switzer.
And they did the not concussions.
Well, that was a little bit later, but he did not like Barry Switzer very much. Hey, can we give you some breaking news? Because our man Jeff Howe from Horns 24/7 also sent us this in addition to the correct answer. We played this and mentioned it in our Flex segment earlier this morning, about 8:30. But we told you that Austin LBJ head coach Jamal Fenner had resigned this morning with the AISD, resigned his position, and it's expected by this morning he will be named the new director of high school relations across the 35 at the University of Texas.
Awesome.
So congratulations to Coach Fenner. We speculated that that could be the case, and according to Jeff and the team over at Horns 24/7, that is the case. And this could be one of three hires made this week, Buck. We know that the big news for Texas football was the A.D. Mitchell commitment on Saturday. From Georgia to Texas, that brings another wide receiver into the room. Look, this is a loaded wide receivers room.
Yeah, they need a wide receivers coach.
And now they need a wide receivers coach. And multiple reports have said it's the leading candidate is Jacksonville Jaguars assistant Chris Jackson. And we know the Jaguars season came to an end on Saturday, so you'll wonder if there's, you know, a pretty quick hire there. We mentioned last week, that there were other names involved for this job. Adam Henry, the wide receiver coach at Indiana, had been mentioned. Wide receiver coach at Baylor. But the fact that they hadn't moved on to Plan B told us, and I think if you were paying attention, that the Jacksonville Jags wide receivers coach, Chris Jackson, is the hire, or else they would have moved on to that next guy. Now the Jacksonville season is over. You wonder if that gets close. So Jamal Fenner, watch for the name Chris Jackson from Jacksonville. Buck, he did a really good job.
Yeah, with the receivers they had, yes, he
Christian
did.
Kirk, Zay Jones, Marvin Jones, I mean, even Evan Ingram. I know that's tight ends, but they use him as more of a receiver. Every one of those guys got better and played above expectation. And blah, blah, blah.
I know Ingram is a free agent this year. They bring every one of those guys back,
yeah.
I got to believe.
Well, but every one of those guys played above what they've played in their
sure.
careers. You know, that's, I mean, credit to Doug Peterson, credit to Trevor Lawrence. But, man. All of those guys played better, and they played in the league for a while, so it wasn't like rookies. These were guys who
they got better.
We kind of thought we knew what they
yes.
were, so that would indicate they got better with this as a wide receivers coach. So credit to Sark if that's where they're going, and they're also expected at some point to hire the new special assistant to the head coach for the offensive side of the football. We don't know who that is yet. There's been some names, but could be a very active week on the hiring front for Steve Sarkisian coming off of the junior weekend that they just had. And by the way, I read, Buck, that over the weekend, there were as many as 30 recruits that have scholarship offers for the class of 2024. That is a staggering number. That's a big number to get all.
They're all here for the weekend?
Yes. These aren't just potential recruits. These are kids you have offered. So, and to have the organization and to get them all on campus at the same time on one weekend in January, pretty impressive. Pretty impressive, and they're obviously trying to set the table for the next recruiting class.
Keep bringing them in. You know what happens? Eventually, it'll outweigh the coaching.
The talent outweighs the coaching?
Yeah.
You said that for years with Mac Brown.
Always. Always does. I mean, because coaches will say that to you.
Oh, yeah.
Not about us. It's about who we bring in.
Well, it is a player's game. They all are. By the way, with the A.D. Mitchell commitment, let me just run through real quickly the Texas receiver room. Xavier Worthy, who everybody's hoping he bounces back from his sophomore slump and he gets back to his All-American freshman ways. And I think with the healthy Isaiah Nayor and now A.D. Mitchell, those are two guys who, you know, because I think they were asking Xavier to play several positions last year, trying to make up for what Nayor lost, because they know what Jordan Whittington is. He is the Mr. Reliable. But they really didn't have that middle of the field stretcher. And so Xavier was that. He was also the quick game guy. Now Whitworthy can kind of go back to his normal spot. You got Nayor, you got A.D. Mitchell, you got Jordan Whittington, you've got Savion Redd and Brennan Thompson, along with Casey Kane, and then the freshmen in Jonte Cook, Ryan Niblett, and DeAndre Moore. So that is a young, deep, and talented receiver core.
I think at least one of those guys transfers out for the year start.
It's possible. And that's a, I don't want to say that's a good thing, but it's a good problem to have that you have so many good players.
Absolutely.
That the depth chart gets crowded. It may happen on the offensive line, too. But that's, Buck, why you have to keep stacking recruiting classes.
Got to stack them.
Got to bring them in. But to credit Sark, when he got here, the receiver room was pretty bare. The offensive line room was pretty bare. He has stocked both. And the quarterback room was questionable, right? Well, think about last year at this time when they were going to spring practice, the offensive line room, they had 7 scholarship players at the position. They now have 15 between last year's recruiting class, this recruiting class, and then what was already there. That's really impressive. And now the wide receiver room was in a similar place, and now it's stacked 8-9 deep. And the quarterback room has added Quinn Ewers, Arch Manning, to go with Malik Murphy, added last year, to go with,
Charles Wright.
Charles Wright from Austin High. And that's upgrades. You're upgrading. I mean, it's about talent acquisition. If you're in a program that needs to build it in talent, you have to acquire it. They're acquiring talent at a pretty high level.
Well, I think it's going to work for the offensive line. There's no doubt about that.
Can you go coach it now?
Yes.
Right? And get the most out of it. The defense showed tremendous strides last year. Can the offense follow this year and put those two together? Got a pretty good football team.
Yeah, this wide receiver core has to get to another level. And if you've got a freshman that's a game-breaking, you know, and it sounds like Cook is that guy, one of those guys who catches and runs, there are going to be people that are going to get left in the dust if a guy can catch and run for scores. I mean, it just is.
It just is. It says, hey, E, would you walk to at least campus if we made it to the Sweet 16?
If we walked to campus. Oh, my goodness. Final Four, maybe.
Should I dare make the bet that or promise? I didn't say bet. I always hate to call it bet. It's a promise. You know where the Final Four is played this year in college basketball?
Houston.
The H. Yeah.
Ooh.
Houston.
Walk to Houston.
Would I walk to Houston if the Longhorns won the Natty?
Ooh.
I don't know that. No, I was just.
I don't think you're gonna have to worry about that.
In 1999, I was just very adamant that Jerry Jones, the egomaniac, would never win a Super Bowl as general manager, and I still believe it. It's the exact same conversation 23 years later. As long as he is fully in charge, running as the general manager, it's not going to be good enough. And we know that the mid-90s, when he got in the power feud and the ego, war with Jimmy Johnson, he was hell-bent on winning a championship as the GM because he wanted to prove Jimmy Johnson wrong.
You know, I like
and
this loyalty.
He's still doing it.
This loyalty is good, but the continuation of this goofy loyalty in the NFL, I mean, you just can't do it. It's not good for your business.
Well, again, that's Jerry Jones, right? If he's your voice of your team, he undercuts the coach with his interviews, and everybody goes to Jerry for answers about actually team matters and ahead of Mike McCarthy. Mike's just the latest in that line of, I don't want to say puppets, but coaches who have to deal with that. And then, yeah, you're right. He's an emotional person, and he gets too attached to players. He gets mad at, the Amari Cooper thing.
He should be mad at his money.
Well, he makes plenty of money. That's the other problem. I mean, he's a billionaire several times over. He makes plenty of money. He makes a lot of money. He's a great businessman. He owns a bunch of businesses. Now he wants to bring casino gambling to Texas and sports gambling.
Do it, Jerry. Get involved. Do it.
By the way, I did get some intel on that on Friday. I'll bring that back to you about the likelihood of some sports gambling coming to Texas.
Likely for a long time. That and weed.
Well, I'll give you some interesting nuggets on that coming back. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
A bit of breaking news here. Looks like this weekend, Longhorn basketball got a big win on Saturday at West Virginia. First half was pretty ugly. Second half, much better. Longhorns win at 69-61. They're now 16-3 through their first 19. They'll play their 20th game tomorrow night against Oklahoma State. But then following that, they go to Knoxville, Buck, on Saturday to face Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers. And ESPN has announced that that's where the College Game Day show is going.
Yeah, that's a long stretch after this week.
Oh, it gets
after
brutal.
Tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah, Tennessee is the top five team for Rick Barnes. Then they're going to come home and play Baylor. But Scott Drew, and he's had Texas's number since he's been at Baylor, certainly the last half decade. And then they go to the back-to-back Kansas, the Kansas two-step, we'll call it.
Man.
On the road to Manhattan and then to Kansas, back-to-back games. That's not fun as far as that goes. But, all right, here's a text on somebody mentioned the Final Four is in Houston and the Houston Astros opening weekend, same weekend. Mm. Well, you could do like a sports lover's dream. Catch the Final Four, catch the Astros, and they'll probably be raising banners for their world championship with Dusty Baker and company. It's a pretty good weekend right there. Pretty good on the, what is that, the end of March, end of April?
What are they going to do with Dan Quinn? If Dan Quinn doesn't take a job, how much are you going to have to pay him? If Jerry likes his money and he's got a lot of it, he's going to have to give up a lot to keep that guy
I
there.
I don't think he gets a job.
You know, Dan Quinn?
Well, he's not coming back for the same. I mean, he's not coming back for the same price. You might as well be doing something with Zeke.
He's under
and
contract.
Well, he can change his contract. And I mean, they're going to extend his contract, won't they?
Well, Dan, we'll see. I mean, I think – I want to say the exodus is on, but I think Zeke Elliott's time in Dallas is over. I think the big issue with Dan Quinn is if he does take one of these jobs, and now that he's available, I think you're going to start hearing his name a lot. You know, how much of the staff does he take with him?
That's true.
Coaches like to hire
linebacker coach or go with you.
Yeah, well, he could gut the whole defense, and that staff has been tremendous. And if you're Dan Quinn and you're taking over a gig, you're going to try to bring in, you know, the people you trust the most. And so if you're Jerry Jones, you could be in the spot where you got to hire a whole new defense, not just the coordinator, but a whole staff.
Yeah, you're right.
So keep an eye on that. And obviously the openings, where's the most likely you would see Dan Quinn land? I would say Denver or Carolina. Denver or Carolina. But, you know, Dan Quinn's got to – if you're Dan Quinn and you're going in as a defensive coach.
You got Russell Wilson, who's going to fix that dude?
Right. But remember, Russell Wilson – yeah, reached out to Sean Payton, but he also was one of the first to say he loves Dan Quinn because they worked together in Seattle,
that's right,
when both were there. So that's one to watch. But look, if I'm Dan Quinn and I want to get one of these jobs, you're going to have to go in kind of knowing who your offensive coordinator is going to be, because this is an offensive league now. I mean, as great a defensive performance as that was by both sides, we know what this is. And in the Final Four, you have Kyle Shanahan, offensive coach, right? You have Andy Reid, offensive coach. Nick Sirianni, offensive coach. You know, Joe Burrow's coach, Zach Taylor, offensive coach.
Yep.
So that's obviously, it's a copycat league. So to get a job as a defensive coach, especially in Carolina and Denver. Remember, but Denver did this last year. They chose Nathaniel Hackett over Dan Quinn because they wanted the offensive coach. And it didn't work out, and Hackett didn't even last the season. So you wonder if they double back to Dan Quinn. But I would say this, for Denver and Carolina, both ownership groups have a ton of money, right? Dave Tepper's a billionaire. The new Broncos ownership is the deepest pockets of any of the owners right now. So, you know, that's, you know, we also heard at the end of the week, last week on Friday, we talked about Sean Payton, that according to the report from NOLA.com, that Mickey Loomis wants 2 first-round picks and maybe more to even talk to Sean, to hire Sean Payton.
Well, is he going to wait another year?
Yeah. I mean, you wonder if that drives a lot of people out of that market, saying, wait a second. We're not giving up 2 first-round picks. When a guy like Dan Quinn is available, Dan Quinn's been to a Super Bowl, and I think the whole league has watched what he's done in Dallas and marveled at. Because remember, when he got there, Buck, that defense was horrible. The Cowboys, the first year under Mike McCarthy, that was one of the worst, if not the worst, Cowboys defense of all time. And Dan Quinn fixed it in one year.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
now
that
it's
was
the strength
a very
of the team.
Aggressive team yesterday, the way they played.
And now it's the strength of the team. And, you know, the owners are looking at that saying, wait a second.
And the only really big difference is Micah Parsons.
Yeah, yeah. And Micah was a huge
personnel's pretty much
hybrid
same.
Player, but a lot of the same guys. And so that goes to coaching. The players love playing for him. He, you know, the positionless football that he coaches and plays. And it feels like Dan Quinn's kind of ahead of the curve on this. And where, which would mean if you're Dan Quinn, that's why I say he needs to know who his OC would be.
For sure.
He he's going to hire an offensive coordinator that sees things like he does as far as positionless football, you know, just using your best players.
Or he can play all the defense he wants. If he goes to Denver and he can't straighten out the offense, they're not going to be any good.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. And obviously Cowboy fans would love to keep him. Several folks have already texted saying fire McCarthy and keep Quinn. Well, if that's an option, I don't want to say everything's on the table, but after that loss yesterday.
Everything's back out. We'll know tomorrow. It's Tuesday.
It kind of has to be. But at the same time, it's
Jerry will
Jones.
Be on the radio tomorrow.
Jerry will do his radio show
Did
tomorrow.
Did y'all see what Nick Sirianni said about Jalen Hurts in his post-game press conference?
Uh-uh.
Said it's like having Michael Jordan out
there. Oh, I do.
I can see that for him.
Yeah. No, I mean.
You think Jalen Hurts is like Michael Jordan?
For what they do in their offense right now, yes.
Well, I mean, that's over. That's hyperbolic. But at
the
same time.
Yeah, well, you know what he's saying.
He's a great player.
He doesn't feel like there's any other quarterback right now that can do those things in that offense.
Showing a montage of Sirianni chest-bumping all his players. And
no, he's going to become the most hated coach in the league for a lot of Cowboys fans. And a lot of league. Nick Sirianni's not for everybody. I mean, he's abrasive. He's in your face.
Do not let them get Bijan Robinson, or there's going to be a lot of hate going on for a lot of years.
Get that Bijan Robinson with that Saints pick.
Don't let that pick happen.
All right, so on the way to the timeout, talking about Jerry Jones, and now that Jerry Jones and the football season is over, I'm assuming one of his big pushes is going to be with the legislature, the session, to get, because he's big on this sports gambling and the sports casino business in Texas. He wants to be on the front lines of that, along with Tillman Fertitta. Down in Houston, also the folks who own the Sands hotels, right? They all are going to be pushing this hard. And the thing I heard Friday, Buck, from someone who's pretty well in the know deep into the Capitol, is that it's all about Dan Patrick, our lieutenant governor. If he gets on board with this, it'll happen.
It'll happen.
And I was also told if he's 50-50, if he just kind of doesn't push it but doesn't say no, that it could happen. That could be 50-50, 60-40 kind of thing. If he says no, then it's not going to happen. But there's momentum for it. There is momentum more than we've ever seen before. But I was also told you're not just getting sports betting. There's not enough money in it. If it's going, it's going to be casino and sports betting.
Now you're talking.
It would be both. They wouldn't just do one. Some states have. I was told Texas will not do that. It's not enough revenue to justify the fight.
They're going casinos, too.
It would be casinos and sports wagering. So not just the sports books, but both. And obviously the casinos would pop up quickly. There would be concessions to the minor casinos that are already open. Obviously, you're going to get pressure from the Louisiana groups and the Oklahoma groups, Nevada, not to do this because they love Texans.
We need you there.
But it's like, come on. We go to Colorado to go skiing because we don't have mountains. We can put casinos here. We don't have to go to Louisiana. And that's, Mattress Mack lost his bet on the Cowboys yesterday, $2 million. But obviously the video is not lost on folks. He had to go across the border into Baton Rouge to
with his cash.
Make his bet instead of keeping that money right here in the great state. Because we know, as Jerry Jones said on the Fan radio last week, Buck, it's about educating the children of
it's
the great
the
state.
Kids.
It's about educating our great state's children.
It's about the kids.
It's what this is about. The great state's
let's get
children
it done. Yes,
needs
let's,
educated.
Let's also get Jordan Addison to Dallas.
The Cowboys?
Yes. Get that done.
This says Denver got Nathaniel Hackett because they thought Aaron Rodgers would follow him. That's true. That is an accurate statement. That if you go back to when the Broncos hired Nathaniel Hackett, the idea was that might have been the final piece because Nathaniel Hackett was the offensive coordinator in Green Bay, that might have been the final piece for them acquiring Aaron Rodgers via a trade. That didn't happen. He ended up re-signing with the Packers, and they traded for Russell Wilson, and he and Russell Wilson never really we're on the same page. So could be Dan Quinn. We'll see. But, yes, whoever they hire has to deal with Russell Wilson. And I keep saying this because it's not just about his performance, but the locker room doesn't like him. That's important, Buck. You know how that is.
It's real important.
I mean, it might be more important than how poor, because you almost feel like you could, with the right offense and structure and coaching, that you could get Russell Wilson close to what he was. But if the team hates him, That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, but they can change that. And if they can win some games and Russell not be the way he is, you win some games and win a Super Bowl, they'll love you there until you start losing again.
Yeah.
They need to win.
Well, think about Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. It wasn't just about performance there. The team hated him.
Oh, no, they didn't like him in the locker room.
The team did not like him. And he didn't win over the Carolina locker room either. So there's a problem there for Baker. For Russell Wilson, he comes off as phony.
Yeah, dude, but your quarterback can't be hated.
Yeah.
or just totally disliked. I mean, you got to like him. That's who you're playing for, really.
If you saw the game late in the year, and Bronco fans are more intimate with this than me, but there was the scene where the backup quarterback came up to the offensive lineman and were yelling at him because they weren't helping Russell up off the ground, and they went after him.
Oh,
said,
yeah.
They went after the backup.
Yeah, really.
Says, you want some of this? Like, they were mad, and the lineman won't pick up Russell Wilson off the ground. You know, and normally you go over and the lineman pick up the quarterback.
Of course.
Mm-mm, not in Denver.
Not. They just let him lay there.
They let him lay there. Got to get up on his own. So, yeah, there's that. So any coach that goes to Denver has to heal that fracture, and I don't know. You only get that one. You get one chance to make a first impression, Buck. They don't like him. Now, they're pros. You know, they're going to play for him, and maybe he can slowly earn it back. But that's a tough two hurdles to climb. You got to get him back to playing at the performance level he was in Seattle, and he's got to earn back that locker room. That's not easy.
Geno Smith had been backing up Russell for a while, and you know they love Geno Smith.
Yeah, they do.
And now he's a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, he was. Played great. You know, it's almost like Pete Carroll and John Schneider, the GM, kind of had a. Now you've given us all that for him. Now you got it. You deal with him.
That's exactly right.
You deal with him now. Well, and I kind of feel the same way about any coach that takes the Arizona job. In Arizona, you got to deal with a young malcontent in Kyler Murray. Who wants that? So I keep saying the Houston job isn't all that bad.
I hear nobody talking about that job.
What, Houston or Arizona?
Nobody wants that. Who wants that job?
Well, not only is Kyler there, he's hurt. Kyler's hurt, so you don't get to – in your first – think about this with Kyler Murray. He just had a knee injury in December. When you take over, he can't be a part of your mini camps. He can't be a part of your install of your new offense.
And is he really – what's he doing? Is he really working out? You'd be all over that
guy. That's detrimental, Buck. I mean, if you don't have your starting quarterback when you're installing your first-time offense to the whole team, and who are you going to bring in to do it? Colt McCoy? Is he going to install the offense for you? That's a weird deal, and he's not going to be healthy till October.
And you got to have trust in that guy. Is he working hard? Is he getting that last lift in with his knee, or what is he doing?
Or is he playing war games?
Is he playing war games, Ty?
We'll be back. Let's wrap things up. We'll reset these top stories, get you caught up on the Jamal Fenner news if you haven't heard it. Looks like Jamal Fenner is staying in Austin, but he's moving from the high school ranks to the college. Details coming on B&E.
B&E.
So you believe that they will get rid of the kicker? I mean, doesn't the yips go away? I mean, I've had them before. They went away, and I was fine for years after that.
Take some ointment.
Well, the yips just kind of goes away. I mean, it'll go away.
On the list of off-season priorities, Maher's got to be on it, but at the same time, they got bigger issues, to say the least.
I mean, that guy was pretty good. When he's good, right? And he just got a case of something that happened to him. Don't you go in the off-season? Go down to the park, take your dog.
I think you can probably be confident he'll be back.
And you just come back and you just kick like you've been kicking?
It's the least of their concerns at this point. Dak Prescott's interception total and just lame performance yesterday. I was looking at the lead page of CBSSports.com. Cowboys McCarthy tries to explain bizarre final play. That's what we're talking about, really? How about how crappy your quarterback was with 3 minutes to play and you need to go get a touchdown and how bad he was at the end of the first half and how he got outplayed by a rookie? I'm sure they asked him about that, but that's the headline, the bizarre final play, which was a Hail Mary if there was
one.
And
who cared? It wasn't going anywhere, no matter what they tried to do.
I know. I think he snapped the ball, Zeke Elliott did.
He's ineligible. Everything has to be a lateral
to him,
right?
The most concerning part and alarming part of the play itself after watching it executed is that they practiced that, clearly.
they wasted some time on that?
What are you guys doing? But Zeke snapping to his best buddy, Dak. And then I think he was supposed to throw it to Turpin.
Which he did.
Devontae.
And he got jacked up.
And he was supposed to catch. And I'm assuming if it was supposed to be like a hook and lateral, and he was supposed to pitch it back to Zeke, who's now
taking off.
Eligible, right? He can't be.
But he can't be because he got jacked up.
Right. He got jacked up. I think they were trying to play the Jedi mind tricks on the Niners, who didn't fall for the Jedi mind trick.
So Zeke was going to catch the ball. Zeke was going to streak across the field. He was going to lateral it to him, and then it was going to be from that point on. It was just going to be some fun.
But
Zeke got ambushed immediately. dude, that guy tried to. Can't do that to Zeke.
If I'm Mike McCarthy, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, the performance of Dak is concerning to say the least. Because back to back years.
I would then go off on somebody if they asked me that at the press conference. I would start F-bombing somebody like out of their mind. If that was the first question that came at your press conference after the game, that's where I would go absolutely
nuts.
It
wasn't the first, but look, I'll say this for Dak Prescott. The one thing you love about Dak is that he owns it. He's a great face of a franchise.
Yeah,
he's,
I mean, his sleep number, he'll get his sleep number, get his rest this
great
week.
Great mattress pitch man.
Yep. Good guy.
But, you know, that's back-to-back years against a very good team. But people talk about people keep texting about how good the 49er defense is. Well, yeah, we told you that all week. Everybody that's watched them know they're elite at every level of their defense. But when you get to this point of the season, you're not playing chumps. You're going to be playing elite teams and then facing elite quarterbacks.
At least the four best.
At least in this one, you were facing a rookie. And so you should have had the quarterback advantage, except you threw the two picks. You almost threw a third, and your offense was bad. And that's on you. That's on Dak. You should have enough firepower, even with an injured Tony Pollard, to score more than 12 points.
Yes.
And not give up six because of your interceptions or nine. If you consider that it cost the Cowboys a field goal attempt at least at the end of the first half. So that'll be the conversation into the offseason. Unfortunately, Zeke, his best buddy, is probably gone. Tony Pollard has a broken ankle, or at least tibia in his leg. He's going to need surgery, so he's a free agent to be. Dalton Schultz, who had the franchise tag this year, you need to work out a contract with him. There's a lot to be done, and this isn't a team that's right now, to me, obviously they can't get past the Niners. The Eagles... Remember, when the Eagles draft Bijan Robinson or somebody of that ilk in the top 15, they're going to get better. And they got a young quarterback that their coach says is Michael Jordan. So, you think Joe Burrow is going to go ahead and win this whole thing?
I do.
Would you, if you had to put your money on one of the four right now, it'd be the Bengals?
Yes.
I think I'd agree with you. Offensive line is a concern, but that didn't bother the Buffalo Bills yesterday.
Oh, and I think the Eagles will take care of the 49ers this week. With their quarterback.
I can't wait for that game. That's the first game. That's the first game Sunday. That is heavyweight football right there. The Cowboys, by the way, to wrap it up, the bumper sticker version, that was a heavyweight battle.
Yes, on defense.
And the rookie quarterback outplayed the veteran. That's the reason the Cowboys lost the game. Their defense deserved better. They deserved better. CeeDee Lamb played a hell of a ball game. It was Dan Quinn coached a hell of a ball game. That's disappointing, and that's the lead story of their offseason is you're not going to play at the elite levels until your quarterback
plays elite, or do you get an elite quarterback?
Or you get an elite quarterback, and that's a problem.
And you got to do something with your old running back. Your old war horse needs to go out to pasture.
But here's the problem: you have some cap issues, and Ty has pointed them out, and he's talking about adding a cornerback. Dude, with that quarterback, you need as many weapons as you can get. You don't need to be trading Amari Cooper and letting Dalton Schultz walk and. The Tony Pollard can't leave. I mean, what are you doing? You're going to put more on Dak's plate. That's not where you want to be. Hey, congrats. It looks like this thing's a done deal. Multiple reports now that Jamal Fenner, who did such a great job at Austin LBJ High School, is the choice of Steve Sarkisian to be named the new director of high school relations in his program. So congratulations to Jamal. As you said earlier, Buck, that's a great opportunity for a young coach.
Good dude.
Good dude.
Good job by the Longhorns, too.
And I know loved in his community there in East Austin, and that's pretty cool for him to get that gig to stay right here in Austin,
Absolutely.
Texas, to coach at the 40 Acres and help Sark and this program. Looks like Longhorns need a wide receivers coach this week, too, and they could fill that special assistant to the head coach position. So, obviously, keep it locked in. We'll get you the very, very latest on all the Longhorn news, the Cowboys offseason, the Final Four in the NFL, college basketball as well. Longhorns a big one tomorrow night. There's big Monday hoops tonight, Buck. Ty, do you have a gambler's pick of the night tonight?
I do not.
Did you take a bath?
I had a good weekend, though.
You did have
a good
weekend.
Kansas.
Jayhawks? How about TCU beating their, they busted them pretty good this past weekend.
Did.
That tells you how good the Big 12 conference
man.
Is. TCU lost 3 of 4, including at West Virginia, and turned around and beat Kansas
in
Kansas. Hey, everybody, have a great Monday. Light the Tower is next.